Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in. My name is Brooke Taylor. Look at that. It looks like you got a little sunshine. We're going to be all about that today. This is our summer kickoff, official ringing in the new season, 2016 summer show, episode number 60. And we're going to have a great time today. We're going to talk a little bit about summer music. I am definitely a soundtrack person. I feel like our lives have a soundtrack. So we're going to kind of go old school a little bit and talk about some of the classics. And big news, breaking news, Arise 2017. There will be a retreat next year, and I'll give you the scoop on that. That's coming up in the program. You don't want to miss that. That's kind of the finale part of the show. Also, ideas, how to have an awesome summer season with your family. And you're a part of that. We got some really good feedback and we'll break that down. Quick tips also, which does tie in a little bit to that, how to stop wasting time online and make space for creativity. And I think summer is a great time to be creative. So we're going to try to spark that fire of creativity, which I know mine is dormant. It's down there somewhere, and bring it back out. And finally, my 5.5-year-old daughter, this is exciting for me personally. She just said, "Mom," for the very first time. She is going to be 6 in a couple weeks. And this is huge for our family. It was the best day ever. So I'll share a little bit of that clip with you too, without hopefully crying like a baby in the process. So we've got a lot packed into this show. Thank you for joining me. We're going to have a great time today. And so as we slather up the sunscreen, so to speak, and fire up the grill, which is my favorite, drink some lemonade. And as my son, who's 4, says, eat some popsicle bowls, we are going to also lift up our hearts in prayer as we kick off the program. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Father, creator of all, we thank you for the gift of summer. Thank you for the gift of warmth and sun and increased daylight. Thank you for the beauty all around, for the increased time we have with our friends and family. Draw me closer to you this summer, Lord. Warm my soul with the awesomeness of your presence as I enjoy your creation. Create in me a pure heart and a hunger and thirst for you. Amen. I found a list from the Boston Globe. They presented a list of the top songs of the summer for the last 100 years. I didn't know you could go that far back and look at what the top song of the summer was, but evidently there was a rating system and they tracked it. So I brought the list out. I thought it was fun because for us, it's just part of the summer. I don't know. From the time I was a tween and laying out with sun in my hair and some lemon juice and some peroxide in my hair, I can't believe I actually did that. So there's a little flashback. We had the music going on in the background. So I love music in the summer especially. And so I was looking at this list, and a lot of the modern music I really don't care for. And I don't know if I'm just getting old or the music's just not as good. But a lot of these are gimmicky songs like Gangnam Style. I'm not even saying that right. That was the number one song of the summer. Dynamite, Mo Money, Mo Problems in 1997. So I feel like those are all good, but not like the, classic ones that I can kind of relate to. Hungry Like the Wolf. Yes. Okay. That was 1982. I can't believe it's been that long. That was the number one summer song in 1982. Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes in 1981, listed as the Boston Globe number one song for that year of the summer. And, you know, they're still in innocence then too. I remember listening to songs like Endless Summer Nights by Richard Marx, That Summer by Garth Brooks, and they're all relationship based. But at the time, I didn't really kind of pay attention to the lyrics, which is good and bad. That's kind of a sidebar, but there's a lot of summertime blues, just a lot of great summer songs. So those types of songs, I just think are so fun to not only go back and listen to ourselves, but then to have our kids sing along with, because especially the older you go, the farther back you go, I feel like the songs are more wholesome. So Lord help us, bring us back to that time. So there you go. That's just a few on the list. And you can find that online if you do a search. It's the Boston Globe's top summer songs of the last 100 years. Really great list. It's pretty fun. And now, as we step out of the time capsule and back into 2016, and this summer, the future is here. And it's not just the old-time summer simplicity. We have smartphones and devices and texts and emails coming through, Snapchat and everything else, notifications. And that's not even the kids. That's mom and dad and parents and babysitter. And I had to do an honest gut check when I was thinking about this summer, because I want to be a good example for my kids. I want to show them what productivity is about, creativity is about. And to be honest, when they're in school, it's easy for me to get sidetracked on all these little projects and then check my email, get into a text thread, and before I know it, 10, 20 minutes has gone by. So I needed to take a hard look at myself and what kind of an example I want to be for my kids during the summer. And just cool it with my smartphone. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that this is a thorn in my side. I think a lot of us feel this way, a thorn in the flesh, as Paul would talk about. And so this is an ongoing struggle. And I found some good tips. This is from an article, readwrite.com. The blogger is Tasso Roumeliotis. Is that Greek? I don't know. And I'm sure I said it wrong. But he has some really good tips. So I wanted to share those with you as we prepare to kind of unplug, unwind, and reconnect with our family for the summer. These are some little ways to help break the mobile phone habit and to foster some more creativity. Number one, he says getting online is grounded. It's amazing how much we lack at just being still. And it's okay to not feel the compulsion, the pull of having to check something or that you're missing something. So he says, number one, get in the mindset of I'm detaching, I'm kind of cutting the umbilical cord, and maybe even do that in your mind and say that starts number one. Number two, the best part of waking up is waking up. God gave you a new day. Put your phone in a place that isn't immediately accessible so that when you wake up, you are focused on your kids or you're having some coffee or a pot of tea or looking out the window or eating breakfast, all of that before you check your phone. How long can you go before you check your phone? For many of us, and statistics shows, it's one of the first things we do. The moment that we are conscious and we wake up, he says, do those things first. And then at some point, check your phone. Next, keep track of time. He says setting a timer on the phone when you check in on social media is a great mental motivator and powerful incentive to be disciplined. He says, I'll usually set a timer for 10 minutes, check for birthdays on Facebook, scan what articles are trending. The maximum time I allow for myself at any one social media session is 20 minutes. If I don't set this boundary, it's down the rabbit hole and I will go wondering where the time went. You have a built-in timer in your phone, so you can use it that way. Also, arriving home is sacred. If you work outside the home, make a note mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that you are not going to be on your phone when you get home with your kids and with your family. That time is sacred and it's fleeting. And so it's important to just put it all away and be focused and present when you get home. Then the phone is a camera, just a camera. Yes, you can take pictures of your kids, share the pictures, but pausing for a moment to take a picture and then save it and share it is a lot different than then proceeding to tag everyone in it, noting the location, responding to comments. That can all wait until later. And also, turn off your phone when you get in the car. Driving is one of the places where you don't want to mess around. If it's possible, it's hard because a lot of times I'll use the GPS if I'm going to an event or somewhere, but that's a huge thing too. So there you go. Some good tips and takeaways.
Hi, Brooke. It's Vicki. I just wanted to leave you some feedback about the last couple of episodes. First, I am so excited about your perspective book project and can't wait to see how that develops. One last thing, you had mentioned ideas for summer break. We are very blessed in the greater Cleveland area to have an incredible Metro Park system that puts out a book of things to do every month. And there's something free almost every day. Also, some of the other activities that my kids have really enjoyed over the years are free concerts. A lot of cities give them at least once a month, if not more frequently. The zoo, the art museum. The Federal Reserve Bank actually gives free tours downtown Cleveland. And it's educational, and they think it's really cool because they get to see how money is made and where it's stored. And last but not least, a lot of movie theaters have the second run movies, and they're earlier in the day. but they're usually only $1, or you can get a pass for the entire summer and it's only like $5 or $6, but it's for 10 movies or something like that. So that's a really, really good value. And it's a good time to go because it's early in the day before it gets too hot and before the parking lots get too busy. So take care, God bless, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Vicky. Oh, that is all good stuff. I like the free concert idea too. I forget about that, but there are so many good ones. And I also posted a list to the Good Things Radio Facebook page. I think it's a BuzzFeed article, but it has a lot. It has, I think, like 50 different creative ideas. And I had intended to do more on this, more tips and lists for summer ideas, but I found they're either like too obvious, where run through a sprinkler, build a sandcastle, or have a root beer float, or sell lemonade. Those are all kind of, yes, traditional, obvious. Or they were really age specific, like for little ones or teens, and all, it's just limitless, which is a good thing. Everything from have a balloon fight to an outdoor movie, water balloon fight. A general balloon fight would not really be exciting. Water balloon fight. But there's just, I think every family and creativity level is different. There's so many VBS camps and hiking trails and beaches and festivals and orchards. So I think there's just too many to narrow down. But I did post that list on Facebook. Love your feedback and would really especially like to hear the unique ones, like Vanessa shared. She said one thing she does is one day during the summer have an ice cream sundae party for dinner. And I do love sundaes, Vanessa, so that's really good. But instead of having a traditional dinner, you just get the old ice cream out and do that and eat healthy the rest of the day. And that's what I love. So thank you, Vanessa. And thank you for reaching out. Please keep your feedback coming. You can do that at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. It makes the show. It makes my day too when you reach out. So you can do that via email. Also on Voxer, you can find me at Voxer at Brooke Taylor and the number one. And speaking of feedback, boy, did I ever get the best input from my daughter, Carolina, this week. And if you are on Facebook, if we are friends on Instagram, you may already know about this, but I just wanted to share it because the timing, which a lot of people don't know, I think is really amazing and beautiful as well. So what happened was, after working with my daughter Carolina for years, and she's almost six, this was the very first time that she called me mommy, that she said the word mommy. And Carolina is on her own timetable, and I know that loud and clear, but you know, I've come to appreciate in ways that I never even knew was possible, the blessing of delay, waiting for that one word. And I have had the word mom, mommy, mama applied to me over the last 14 years. My oldest is going to be 15. So from different children, I've heard it before. And you would have thought, though, in this particular case, it was the first time that I ever heard that in my life because it was so special. Like it was all over again for the first time, washing over me that I am Carolina's mommy and she knows it and she said it. And just to kind of give you the full picture, Carolina has a vocabulary of about 56 words, which really actually is remarkable because of where especially she was last year. She was initially labeled as institutional autism, global developmental delays, nonverbal, which she's getting really verbal. I mean, 56 words is pretty awesome. And she would say, Mama Mary, she knows Our Lady. She has said that from, I think, the beginning, but she never applied mama or mom or mommy ever to me. She's never said that until a few days ago. And we've been working on it. And what I was able to do, thanks be to God, by the grace of the Lord, capture it on video. She had said it one other time the day before, and I thought, I'm good, because every day we're working on it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to have her say it, and it's going to be recorded, and she did it. So I wanted to share it with you now. Take a listen. Carolina?
Mommy.
Who's this?
Flowers.
Who's this here?
Anna.
Not Anna.
Flower.
Mommy? Mommy? Carolina?
Good morning.
Carolina, and who's this?
Mommy.
Yes! Oh my, and I'm sorry, I know that's kind of the annoying mom voice in the background, but I was speechless. And I think I've probably watched that video like 7,800 times in the last week because I just find that it has been such an encouragement for my heart. And also a couple lessons, mom lessons that I've been reflecting on that as well. One, I pulled it up. It's from Galatians 6:9. Paul says, "Let us never grow tired of doing what's right, for if we do not faint, we'll reap a harvest at the right time." Isn't that good? I mean, for all of us, because I think even though the days are long and it so often feels like we're not getting anywhere, you know, and I've talked about this before, climbing Mount Autism, but the Lord reminded me in that moment of just the beautiful bounty in her yet to come out. And I received this perfect flower that bloomed right at the time, the harvest, God called it forth. And I know there's an entire garden inside there. The seeds are just germinating and waiting to bloom when the time is right. And isn't that the most awesome anyway? Because I'm just saying for myself, and I know in connecting with other moms and friends and girlfriends and book clubs, that we want so hard to control our little world. And it makes us feel good to know, at least I control this part in my house. My child has reached this milestone. And that's what I've struggled with in the past, because this diagnosis is out of my control to a point. It's out of my hands. But God will make a way where there seems to be no way if we just wait upon Him. Habakkuk 2:3 says this, "For the vision is a witness for the appointed time, a testimony to the end. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late." I actually didn't even know that that was in the Bible. And then I read that because I just was trying to journal all that was happening. I'm going to read it again. Habakkuk 2:3. "For the vision is a witness for the appointed time, a testimony to the end. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late." Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. Oh, and the timing, what I wanted to share with you, it was so beautiful because on May 29th, it will be our 5-year anniversary of the day that we walked into the orphanage in Częstochowa, Poland, and was handed this small bag, and inside was a pink pillow, a few crib sheets, 2 bottles, and an outfit that we had bought Carolina on our first trip, our visit to Poland the first time. And that was given to us in a bag, along with a beautiful little blonde baby girl with 2 teeth that became ours. She became ours that day. And that was our adoption day, our unofficial adoption day, in which we became a family. And we said, "We're leaving and you never have to come back." And they did a beautiful job caring for her, as I think I've mentioned before, but it's coming up on 5 years already. And so close to the anniversary, finally, after all these years, to have her say, "Mommy," buckets of tears and gratitude and the reminder that God's time, if you wait for it, will surely come. It will not be late. And if it's okay, I would just like to, it's going to be okay. It's going to have to be okay because this is my show. I wanted to read to you a portion of the journal entry in my blog from that day. And I was live blogging at the time in Poland. I was pregnant with baby Gus, picking Carolina up. And this is what I had written that day 5 years ago. I said, "Carolina is an answer to prayer and such a light in our lives. I can't wait to get to know every single aspect of who she is. We've been enjoying giggling, morning prayers, long strolls in the park together. There are aspects of having a baby that are just heavenly, and it's been wonderful to be reminded of them again. I love watching her sleep and giving her a bath and the smell of the sweet baby lotion. I love rocking her to sleep and singing and hearing her breathe so peacefully. This has been quite a year of unexpected things for our family, from my dad's cancer diagnosis to my pregnancy and our blessing of Carolina. I offer it all up to God and thank Him for the gift of family and the power of love and faith. And speaking of our dream girl, here she is," and there's a picture of us holding her from the crib and our gotcha day. "We picked her up from the orphanage and have been enjoying every sweet moment since." A journal entry from 5 years ago, and here we are today. So God is good. Thank you for sharing that walk with us, whether you're coming in on this part of the mile marker now or we're there from the beginning and earlier. God bless you and thank you. And God bless all of our kids and the journeys of our families. And finally, breaking news. This is a big deal. This is exciting. Super thrilled to tell you about the Arise Retreat 2017. And first off, it is happening, which I actually wasn't sure about at first. We talked about it on the program. I was kind of sharing a little bit of the challenges in the unknown of Father Nathan and not sure if he was going to be able to be the retreat master for 2017. And the truth is, we're still not sure. We're waiting on that. But the blessing is God knows already. And it's just up to us to, with trust and faith, be obedient and just go on forward. And that's what we're doing. So here are the dates. It's going to be April 20th through the 23rd, 2017, which happens to be Divine Mercy Weekend. That is number one, ring the bell. Fantastic. And if I were to tell you kind of the behind the scenes information of how it came to be that date, it is truly another one of those God circumstances, because the fact that we got in when we did in 2016 was extraordinary, because it was kind of all put together in the last minute, and that they had that weekend open, that everything came together was, I feel like, a kiss from the Holy Spirit. And then next year, we've kind of got these roadblocks where Father Nathan is an unknown. And then I went to book the retreat house and every single weekend was full. And they actually happened to have one weekend open before the summer, and that was Divine Mercy Weekend. And she had to double, she couldn't believe that it was open. She said, this can't be right. This has to be a mistake. Went back, no, it's open. I said, okay, I'll take it. And then we had to start making the down payments. But the problem is, we don't really have the money to make the down payments. And typically, we would put the tickets on sale, which would then generate the revenue we needed in order to put the down payments down. But since we didn't know about Father Nathan, we just didn't want to put the tickets on sale. But thanks be to God, Walsh University, as they have sponsored the very first retreat, said, we will step up, we will sponsor this retreat, we'll get it started. And that's where we are today. So it's happening. But in the meantime, every day they were getting calls and people wanting this particular weekend. Every day she was calling me and saying, I got another call, I got another group, there's another school, there's another retreat, women's group, and they want that weekend. Are you sure you want it? Are you going to make the down payment? And so I just feel so grateful and blessed that it worked out for this particular weekend. We've already had fantastic feedback of people saying, I want to bring a friend, I'm coming again. And what I can tell you is I'm not going to identify the people we do have, but I already have tentative confirmations of people who are coming and guest speakers, and you are going to be so blown away. And the beauty of planning events like this, when you, from the beginning, I feel like you have a team of people praying, but also intercessors in heaven praying as well. You see it come together in ways that are beyond your control. And I'm already finding that. So I'm just excited. And I just wanted to share that with you. It will be at Loyola Retreat House. Again, the weekend, it's going to be a Thursday through a Sunday, just like we did in 2016, Divine Mercy Weekend. And hopefully, because Easter will fall late in 2017, the weather will be pretty good too, since it's the end of April. God, who knows in Ohio, but God willing, that'll be the case. So spread the word, mark your calendar, and stay tuned, because we're going to have more information and details coming. But in the meantime, fantastic cause for celebration, developing now, and we'll follow it, as they say on Fox News, and let you know when we get a report and how it all unfolds. But thank you again also for sharing the journey on that. God bless you, and have a wonderful beginning of your summer as we all walk through this together, hopefully being able to kick the habit of our smartphones, focusing on our families, making the most of the time we have, and waiting on the Lord for His perfect timing in all things, knowing that He is walking with us as our good shepherd. His rod and His staff comfort us. Thank you, Lord. And if you'd be so kind, we humbly ask that you would leave a review of Good Things Radio on iTunes. It helps others find the show, and it tells Apple, hey, there's a little show out there that's worth hearing about. That's Good Things Radio. We'd also love for you, if you'd be so kind, to consider being a patron, a Podbean patron, a good friend of the show. Thank you so much to every single one of our precious Podbean patrons who have donated, who continue to support the program. You are invaluable, and you're the reason that we're still here. If you go to podbean.com, look up Good Things Radio, and you can find the show, you can download the app, and you can also become a patron that way as well. There's a little instruction right on the right sidebar of the website. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work as always. Mark is producer extraordinaire. He wears many hats. If you're interested, if you need a producer or much more, he is a master of all media. You can find out more at cominghomestudio.com. And thank you for being a part of episode 60 of Good Things Radio. God bless you. Until next time, friends, happy summer.